There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question, were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my
And it's Jeff Poore filling in for Sean Sullivan today on FM Talk 106.5, fmtalk1065.com. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 251-343-0106. That is phone and text. And you can reach out to me personally at Jeff_Poore on Twitter. Joining me now in the palatial WVNN studios in Huntsville is no other than Del Jackson. He's graciously come in to sit in his own studio and appear on the show today. Thanks for coming on, Dale.
Oh, thanks for having me. And then you bang on my studio and talk bad about it. I know it's not the palace that the FM Talk 106.5 studio is.
Why did you take it that way?
Because it was meant that way.
No, it wasn't.
Because it's a dump.
It's not a dump.
I'm just kidding.
I've been in worse.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I honestly have.
Oh, I don't
know
where.
Do you want me to list them?
No, I don't want you to list them because I'd like you to be able to go back to there.
Well, some of them don't do talk radio anymore.
Okay, that's a good one. I would just
say that it's got its character. So you know, it is what it is. So you kind of come at the last night's results with a different take than our average talk radio listener
or host,
our cable news pundit on Fox News. Just give us a rundown of where you are on the presidency of Donald Trump right now.
Well, look, here's the deal with Donald Trump, and we can take this however we want, but there seems to be a big push for us to sort of do a participation trophy. Like, he went out to the Senate, and he campaigned in these red states, and he got him across the finish line, and he helped him win, and that's where he should be spiking the football. I got a little bit of a different take. He went to red states that Republicans should have won, and he went there and he campaigned and he took credit. And that's fine. The common denominator here is it was a red state with a blue candidate who voted for Kavanaugh. That's it. Manchin, he wasn't able to drag him across the finish line.
No.
So I think that's more of the common denominator there in the House. I mean, it's nothing short of a bloodbath. I mean, we're not going to call it a wave, I guess, because it didn't take the Senate and things like that. And I'm cool with that. But I think the bigger issue here is what it means moving forward. I mean, if our goal on talk radio, and a lot of times it is to soothe the ego of a president who's not listening and his supporters, then cool. Trump did great last night. It was amazing. Pat him on the head, give him a piece of candy, send him off.
Or you could point the blame toward maybe a Paul Ryan.
I would agree. Paul Ryan is to blame. But here's the issue with again, we could say Paul Ryan's to blame, etc. Paul Ryan wasn't on the ballot. Okay? Donald Trump was on the ballot. This was about Donald Trump and nothing else. I'm sorry. It was. And I know that's kind of contradictory to what I just said about the Brett Kavanaugh stuff. That's fine. There was something in the Senate to punish those people for. In the House, there was nothing to punish them for. And I keep hearing, oh, they didn't do anything in the House. They didn't do anything. They eliminated the health care tax. They went out and they tried, as Donald Trump tried to blow up a complete repeal of the health care bill. They passed the tax. They passed the tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts. They went out and they tried numerous times to get the wall funded. And the Senate is the one that actually blew that up because they couldn't get it through. They passed the complete repeal of Obamacare. And then John McCain blew it up. So if the people were mad, they would have punished. If Republicans were mad and punishing for that reason, they would have punished the Senate, not the House.
Well, I mean, a couple of things. The map just lined up for Republicans.
Yeah, the map was obviously the MVP in the Senate.
But Paul Ryan could have been out there doing more. I think at the relationship between Trump and Paul Ryan, not saying this is Paul Ryan's fault, that there's some bad blood there or whatever it may be between the two of them. But if that had been better maybe fundraising would have been different. Maybe you would have had some more things going on with the NRCC. That's the campaign raising fundraising apparatus.
But listen to the premise
in Washington.
Listen to your premise. Your premise is Paul Ryan wasn't nice enough to the president, so he torched the House. That just doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it could have been better. It could have. What worked in the Senate wouldn't work in the House. I mean, you know, maybe it's because of the way the maps were drawn or whatever it may be. But I mean, there was no cooperation.
Republicans drew these maps.
But there was no cooperation between Paul Ryan and Donald Trump saying, hey, can you make a trip here to push out the vote? Maybe it's because Paul Ryan didn't think that would be a good idea. Maybe it was one of these kind of swing districts where they thought Trump would scare off some voters. I don't know, but it just seems to me there was no coordination there, and there was like no there wasn't an attack plan for the House. And now, is that Trump's fault? You know, I think it's much deeper than just yes or no on Trump.
You put it on Ryan. But keep in mind, Donald Trump held a press conference today where we ran through the list of people that lost. It was almost gloating because he didn't go out and try to help those people, and they lost, and that's why they lost. And I'm sorry. What is the point? What exactly is the point? And again, Donald Trump can do whatever he wants, and we can all applaud how awesome it is that Donald Trump's different and all this other stuff, and that's great. I'm fine with that. But at some point in time, we've got to realize that if there's a liability here. Donald Trump was an anchor in 2016, and nobody wants to hear this, but it's the reality that Donald Trump underperformed senators and governors and all those races in 2016, with the exception of, I believe, Nevada and North Carolina. He was an anchor again, and there's no benefit to pretending that that's not the case, other than to soothe the ego of Trump ultra fans and the president himself, who has no idea this is going on.
So, we talked about this on your morning show. If you had Paul Ryan, I mean, if you had Marco Rubio, or you had Jeb Bush, or you had whoever it is, that Ted Cruz, things would be different today? Or do we just have this same product, the same outcome? It's just a historic sort of precedent that the party in power loses seats.
The personality conflicts that Donald Trump created situations where Corker, Flake, Ryan, all these other people said, screw it, I'm out, I gotta go, because they were gonna have problems because the Trump ultra fans weren't happy with them and they wanted no part of that, and they bailed. Would you have seen as many retirements if Trump wasn't president of the United States? The answer to that is no. The power of the incumbency was thrown out the window because people thought with Trump at the helm, there'd be a bloodbath in the midterms. And there was. And there is just really is no argument that can really be made where Donald Trump is not at the center of it. He can't be the most important thing in the Senate and have no responsibility for the House. Yes, he was important in the Senate. Sure, of course. He's a Republican president. These are red states that went big for him. But where's the evidence that he drug anyone across the finish line?
No, maybe in Florida, Georgia, some of these gubernatorial races.
Rubio would have done worse than Trump in Florida.
I don't think he draws a crowd. I don't know, because look how poorly he did in the Republican primary in 16. He got beat pretty badly. So there's a case to be made that Trump could do a lot of things these other candidates can't do. There's pros and cons of Trump.
Yeah.
I think the pros outweigh the cons in a lot of instances. And you know, could Trump do these things better? Yeah, certainly. But it's just not in his nature. Without that, then Trump's not Trump.
Give me a Trump presidency any day over Hillary Clinton. I'm 100%. I voted for Trump. I'll vote for him again in 2020, barring some crazy thing. He could do better. That's all I'm saying.
There you have it. It's Jeff Porfilly in for Sean Sullivan with Dale Jackson sitting in up in Huntsville at WVNN 92.5 FM 770 AM. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile. Sean Sullivan out until Monday. We'll be back in the FM Talk 106.5 studios. So today, Jeff Poor filling in from the WVNN studios in Huntsville. Dale Jackson, his special guest up there today. We're under the phone lines right now, 251-343-0106. And we start it with Thomas and Theodore. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, good afternoon, Dalton. Good afternoon, Jeff. Good afternoon, Dale Jackson. Thank you for having me on, Jeff.
Good afternoon to you, too. Thanks for being on.
Your voice is my most favorite voice, a sounding voice. I don't necessarily agree with what you say sometimes, but your voice is addicting, and I wish you were on more on the station here, 106.5.
Well, thank you.
It's more than just a half an hour.
Okay, thank you.
You're talking about the House of Representatives. I think Paul Ryan gave it to the Democrats. He has been a no-see-me for 2 years. He doesn't get out, and he sits behind Trump when he's talking, and he has all these physical movements. He puts his head in his hands. He looks up at the sky. He rolls his eyes. And I don't think Paul Ryan wants to have anything to do with Trump, his legacy, because he won't get in the history books because this guy is so far out.
Well, I kind of think he's on his way out, and why even try? It almost seemed like kind of a half-hearted effort to me. But I want to thank you for calling, Thomas. But you come at it differently. You don't think there's anything that you... Let me ask you this way.
Okay.
What would you acknowledge there's more that Paul Ryan could have done if he was really serious about...
I fault Paul Ryan, too. I mean, there's no question. Paul Ryan's part of the problem. This idea that you're going to resign... Paul Ryan's resigning because he thought they were going to lose.
Well, he took over as House Speaker because, you know, there was a weird time with John Boehner out, and it really wasn't an heir apparent. He had been the vice presidential nominee with Mitt Romney, but he came into that post with the caveat, I'm not going to be the guy that's going to be out fundraising. I'm not going to be a guy that's going to be out campaigning.
Yeah, he's at fault
I am
too.
Just going to be a placeholder for the time being. If the Republicans had a Kevin McCarthy or somebody like that that was really, you know, all the things you got to do to be in the leadership in the House of Representatives, then maybe things are different. I'm not saying that we'd be sitting here today with a Republican Congress, but I do think that's worth at least maybe
seats. I blame everyone that resigned because they thought they were going to lose. And I'm not saying Ryan thought he was going to lose, but Ryan didn't want to be in the minority again. I mean, let's realize that's what that's all about. And he bailed. And that's what he did. So he's at fault just like that. But here's the reality. It's the Trump show. There's no other way to put it. It's we could have 1,000 different conversations about it, but it all boils down to this. Donald Trump is the man. They are going to live and die with Donald Trump. He knows it. Why else would he go out there and start dogging Mia Love and all these other people? By the way, Mia Love, black, female, Utah? Yeah. Let's get that one out. Let's make sure we don't help her. Let's make sure that she's the one that we're up here crapping on after she loses an election. Make sure we drive Mia Loves out of the party, because the last thing we want is black females being standard bearer Republicans. That's a smart play.
Well, Trump's going to do what Trump's going to do.
I'm aware. That's part of the problem.
But that's also part of the charm. He's a guy he holds grudges. People like that. That's human nature. That's why people listen to the Del Jackson radio show.
I'm aware. I am very much
like they like that. And I just think, you know, we could talk about being presidential and all these things, and we're kind of past that.
If he held all these grudges, look, and again, I don't fault him. I'm not faulting him. I'm just explaining how this is. And the issue here of Trump holding grudges is one thing. But here's the thing. If Trump just held grudges and was this bull in a china shop with people like that, fine, cool. Or if Trump just was overbearing about issues that don't appeal to middle America, okay, fine. But when you have, like, if you could cherry pick every bad thing that is going to turn off people and then have them all in one place, send them to the Tanners, and then bring them out and put them on the stage, it's Trump.
Well, tell me this. What does Trump do now? If you're the political advisor for Trump, if you're Kellyanne Conway or whoever it is, What do you tell Trump to do? And let's assume that he follows your instructions.
I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. I work with the Senate to get stuff done. I sit down with my legal team and I say, what can I do? What's within my power that I can actually do? I tell the Senate, pass tax cuts, pass immigration reform, do all these things.
I don't mean tactical. I just mean from a personality standpoint. Does he moderate his tone? Does he become... I think that toothpaste is already out of the tube.
Yeah,
Trump's
got
to be Trump. But do you think if you were telling him, man, maybe you don't bash me a level TV, but maybe you start today, you turn over a new leaf, and you become the new Trump. Is that
what's it look like? I don't know. I don't know what the new Trump looks like. But here's my question. Thomas and Theodore?
Yeah.
What does Trump have to do to lose him? What's he got to do? I mean, honestly, that's a serious question. Go down and flatten his tires? I mean, what does he have to do to lose Thomas and Theodore? You're telling me that calming down and appealing more to a wider audience is going to piss off Thomas and Theodore? Why?
I just think that we've tried this sort of marketing ploy where you want to appeal to the idea that there's this magic formula that you could get this broad appeal, and that's the sales job, that we need a new, young, fresh face and everything's. I mean, that's where they screwed up with Walt Maddox, that you need moderation and you need nice, calm, soothing tones. That doesn't work. I think the guys like Thomas are drawn to the personality of Trump, and that's how you succeed.
All right. Fight the press the way he does. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Okay. Ramp it down maybe a notch. Okay. Still fine. Stop lying. Obviously provable lies that allows them to say the president lies 6,000 times over the course of a year. Stop doing the things that make him a more favorable target. They're going to come after him anyway. They would have came after Paul Ryan. They would have came after Mitt Romney. They would have came after Rubio. They would have all these things. But they would have been able to better fight because they would have been able to say, look at this. They're lying. This is garbage. Yeah. What are you trying to say? I'm racist. What are you trying to say? I'm this, I'm that. If he didn't have 1,000 other things that he was doing.
But I think he's got to do all these things. He's got to make these outrageous comments.
He's got to lie?
I mean, just depends on how exaggerated or whatever it is. That was his shtick with the Apprentice. That's his shtick as president.
It's a shtick that lost you 30 seats in the House.
Yeah, but also won you the White House in 2016.
So it won him the White House, and that's fine. And you're right. But
what's the bigger picture? A loss of the House or winning the presidency?
Well, again, this didn't win him the House. Hillary Clinton lost the White House. Or the White House. Hillary Clinton lost the White House. That's it. Trump didn't.
Well, then it won him the Republican nomination.
Okay, that's fine.
By a mile.
Yeah, he was just a giant, loud prick. I mean, that's what he decided
to
do.
That's what people
wanted. I know that's what people wanted. I'm telling you, he was out of 20 guys, Donald Trump was the loudest, the most well-known. He was the jerk. He appealed to the base. He skewered and ruined these guys. Look at Scott Walker. Gone. Look at Ted Cruz, almost lost his seat. I mean, Lindsey Graham has finally had a rebirth because he's now Make America Graham Again Graham. He's not the same guy. All these people he got on that stage with, Mitt Romney, what's he doing? He's out in Utah doing something now?
He's a senator now.
Right. But
that's the highest office he's ever held.
Again, my point is, he wrecked these guys, and that's fine. But now you're president. What are you trying to do? What's the goal? Stand up and rip me a love and all that. I'm going to keep pointing at that because Trump decided to go out today. And again, let's just look at it from 20,000 feet. So you really wanted to go out and rip the black Republican from Utah, female. That's what you wanted to do? I mean, how's that going to play?
Maybe it's refreshing that he doesn't think that way, that he doesn't think, I got to play to this individual because of her identity and play these identity politics.
Jeff, if you could do this, and the president came to you and said, Jeff, what should I do? You said, go get me
a love. No, of course not.
Go get me a love.
Of course not, but I'm not talking about what I would
show her what's up.
Let's take you and I out of this and talk about the Thomas and Theodore appeal. That appeals to those guys, and it's all about appealing to those
guys. He's
got them. And winning elections.
He's got them.
He's got to keep them.
He could go flatten Thomas and Theodore's tires, and Thomas would walk 6 miles to go vote for Donald Trump. Okay, he's got them. There's nothing he... Look, I'll tell you this. Thomas, I'm assuming, is a conservative type guy. That's what I'm going to guess. Just everything at our disposal would make me think that. Trump would come out tomorrow. Gas tax. Boom. Big tax. Boom. All this stuff that would normally not be done. He could come out, billion-dollar deficits or trillion-dollar deficits? Fine, whatever. Donald Trump's straightening things out. Tariffs? Yeah, all right, awesome. What exactly is the thing that turns off the Thomas and Theodores? Not being a jerk to Mia Love? Sorry, I can't get with you. Find me someone that's going to be a jerk to
Mia Love. It's not about the policy. It's about the getting the votes to ballot box. I think the policy is secondary. I think it's secondary to at least to Trump.
Right. We had that cult of personality in the Democratic Party. It was called Barack Obama.
And it worked.
I know. For him, didn't work for anybody else in the Democratic Party. Barack Obama destroyed the Democratic Party. And Donald Trump's doing the exact same thing. Dude, how do we not see that?
Well, I don't know that he's destroyed it, but he's got a big fan base. And
the trends are the same.
Well, anyway. This is Jeff Poore filling in for Sean Sullivan with the always pleasant Dale Jackson and WVNN. filling in on FM Talk 106.5. Just call us, know what you think, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's Jeff Poor filling in for Sean Sullivan today on FM Talk 106.5. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 251-343-0106. So, Dale, state elections, bloodbath for Alabama Democrats. At this point, I don't even know why the Alabama Democratic Party exists. It just kind of exists to have something to fill in on the ballot that only a third of the state fills in at any given election.
It exists to provide paychecks for Joe Reed and Nancy Worley. That's it. There's generally no other reason in their little functionary people. But that's it, because there's generally no other reason for it. And look, you have seven people in the United States, or in the Alabama State Senate, that are Democrats. Seven. They can't do anything. They've got no power. They don't even need to go down there. Just take your paycheck and go back to where you are. Dole out your money to your schools that you get and things of that nature. Go ahead. In North Alabama, they're getting wiped out. They're getting completely wiped out. I think from, I may be wrong here, but from the Mississippi border all the way to North Huntsville, there's not a single Democrat. You get there, there's two House members, and I don't think there's anything else all the way to the
city of Huntsville, right?
Well, you've got Laura Hall and Anthony Daniels.
Anthony Daniels.
Okay,
right.
And then you go, I think you can go all the rest of the way, and there's not a senator or a House member there. And by the way, where's the power structure starting to congeal? North Alabama. I mean, you got Will Ainsworth.
Right.
You got Attorney General
Marshall.
Steve Marshall. You've got Mac McCutcheon, who borders those two districts I was just talking about with Anthony Daniels and Laura Hall. You've got and Anniston. I wouldn't know if you call that North Alabama, but you could make some argument maybe. But listen, the point I'm making here is this. They are dead. And they have no sign of life. None. All you have to do, and I wrote this at yellowhammernews.com. I hope I'm not spoiling this, but I wrote a piece there about Doug Jones. Yesterday was pretty much a sign that Doug Jones is a dead man walking.
Doug Jones is the
cowardly caretaker, junior senator from the great state of Alabama in an ill-fitting suit that looks like he just woke up. Doug Jones. That guy. Everybody loves it. I don't know why. It keeps getting longer. Anyway, but he got roughly the same amount of votes as Walt Maddox did.
Right.
But Kay Ivey got hundreds of thousands of votes more. People sat out the 17 election with Jones and Moore because they thought Moore was a child molester, or they thought people thought Moore was a child molester and they didn't want to vote for him. Whatever the reasoning was, they didn't want to vote for Roy Moore. They were cool sitting it out. Richard Shelby knifed him in the back. I voted for Roy Moore. At the same time, I also was in some ads making fun of Roy Moore or something. And I was, you know, so I get
What is DACA again?
Yeah, that's one of them. And so equal opportunity jerk, I guess. So the point is, Doug Jones is dead. He's got no chance. There's nothing he could do to save himself. And the Kavanaugh thing did him in just like it did in all these other red state Democrats. They're going to remember the Kavanaugh thing. I'm going to be talking about it in 2 years as Bradley Byrne Del Marsh or whoever.
Gary Palmer, yeah.
Right. And if you're a Democrat, you got to look at that and go, damn, we're screwed.
Well, I think there's the one path that you talk to these Doug Jones folks, and they think that maybe you would have a circular firing squad situation on a Republican primary, and it's just ugly, and all this stuff gets dragged out, and you wind up with a path for Doug Jones.
Man, listen, there could be a circular firing squad where the person comes out, and he's just a torso. And if it's not Roy Moore, that person's still going to win. And that's why yesterday when we were talking with Dr. Wayman Burke on the web stream that we were doing for election coverage for Yellowhammer, what did Dr. Burke say? Well, I hear Roy Moore might be coming out. Where's he hearing that?
That's
nowhere. He's not hearing it anywhere. He's wishing it because it's the only hope they have.
Roy Moore cannot win a Republican primary. Roy Moore is...
They want him out there. And I'll tell you what, Roy Moore is Donald Trump. You put Roy Moore in a race with seven people, he's getting into the runoff. I mean, that's just a reality.
He just has his cult.
Yeah, you get in there with seven people, he's getting into the runoff. And I'm telling you, Marsh and Byrne and Palmer get in there, and then you get a bunch of also-rans that jump in there as well, who may not be as well-known. Maybe Roy Moore goes, I'm not going to go to the mall today in Gadsden. Instead, I'm going to go down to Montgomery, and I'm going to register to be a Republican Senate candidate. I mean, maybe that happens. I don't think that happens.
Well, that's the more playbook. He's the guy that looking for these opportunities to be a martyr. He throws himself in front of the speeding train and declares martyrhood. Mm-hmm. So. My guess is he has to turn up somewhere. That's just how that moral machine works. That's how the foundation for moral law or whatever.
Just look for him at the mall.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so that I don't know that he's going to run for Senate. I think the Republican Party in Alabama would
say, Moore knows he's done. He's not going to embarrass himself further. No. I say that and I don't even believe it. I thought, as soon as I said that, I was like, well, maybe he will.
So, but beyond what happens in 2020, I think the Democratic Party, well, the Republicans, they ran campaigns like they were scared. They didn't want a repeat of 2017, and I think that's why you kind of saw them raise money, do all these things they had to do to get to where they needed to be to win. But my question for you is how about the media in this state? And these newspaper endorsements and all these things, they really didn't matter at the end of the day.
They were on the ballot. They lost. I mean, that's it. They were on the ballot, and they lost. Because they were out there pushing stuff like, oh, we've got all this voter suppression. Where did it all go? Did he see any of it? Any cries of voter suppression? Didn't see a damn thing. So that was a lie. They were out there lying about Amendment 2. Not a huge fan of it. Voted yes on it. And I will tell you that right now. It's absurd that they were saying that it's going to make people who had miscarriages,
right,
ectopic pregnancies, in vitro fertilization, things like that, they're going to charge them. Give me a break. All they had to do, the media, was call Steve Marshall and be like, hey, under this new law, can you start arresting people? And he's like, absolutely not. And then he called it a lie. I got a radio show where the Attorney General and Secretary of State in over two successive days called the major media group in this market, in this state, liars. Not, they didn't hedge around it. They said they're lying.
Well, yeah. So we got a caller on the line. Dalton, you tell me?
Yeah, State Senator Tripp Pittman joining us on the show now.
Senator Pittman, good to have you on. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, former. I turned into a citizen last night at midnight. Fortunately, there's no such thing as a lame duck in the Alabama legislature. That'd really lead to trouble. But it's hard. I'm glad you have Dale with you. And Jeff, I was calling before y'all got into your last conversation. This wasn't about the future. This was about where we are. And, I've always been a policy wonk and somebody with philosophy. It's amazing how easy it is to make decisions when you have philosophy and you have beliefs. And, the next big battle is going to be Medicaid expansion. I was amazed that three states yesterday basically voted to expand Medicaid, and there's a big push on it here in Alabama. And I got Dale's number because I was going to talk to him about it. That's a debate that we need to, a philosophical debate we need to have about the cost and the consequences long term.
Do you think it's going to happen? There's some rumblings that they're going to flirt with the idea, but it's my interpretation that there's just not the political appetite to do so.
No, we're fortunate that we've managed the budgets and we've had some good growth this year, but the CHIP program, which protects children or insures children, is going to go up in cost, $39 million this year and then $100 million next year. So it's going to be all we can do to afford the health care we have. And we do cover, pregnant women and children. But the debate will be there because the hospitals are dependent upon people having insurance in order to make their model work.
All right, let me ask you this. Senator Pittman, let me interrupt you here for a second. Let me ask you this question about the Medicaid expansion and how all of this has gone down. In this election, we saw a candidate say, I want a Medicaid expansion. Now, Walt Maddox, 45 years old, I don't know if you guys know this or not, Walt Maddox, 45, decided that he wanted to make that one of the centerpieces of his campaign when he was done complaining about not being able to have a debate. Great. But he didn't really offer up any specifics. I tried to get him on my radio show to talk to him. He had no interest in doing that. He had no interest in talking about the particulars except saying that it would cost $150 to $200 million. So let's all just assume that Medicaid expansion is free money for the state of Alabama eventually. Is there any appetite amongst your colleagues to put out a line item for $150 million to $200 million to pay for that Medicaid as currently constituted in the Alabama legislature?
Well, fortunately, Dale, we have to balance our budgets. Of course, we have a lot of federal money that flows through that helps us do that. But yeah, no, there's no way to afford it without additional revenues. That could come from the lottery, but the education people are going to want their share. If you get it on the ballot and you want to pass it, no, I don't think that it's going to happen. The leadership, the people that up, you know, my old friends that are still there, and you know, obviously it was a big victory for the Republicans. I don't think they will take it up. And the other side of the debate is this: you know, we've got a great economy. You know, people are going back to work. What we're basically talking about is covering the able-bodied adults, and that's not. Even Paul Hubbard told me when he and I used to joust on the students first and the tenure reform is that he believed that able-bodied people ought to have to work to eat. I mean, you know, there's a work ethic, and it's a moral issue that, you know, if you're able to work, you ought to go get a job.
All right, well, let me ask this idea, and this is I try to get Walt Maddox on my radio program or TV program and radio program that airs here on Talk 106.5, FM Talk 106.5. So I'm a radio guy. I can't even get the numbers right. So, listen, this was what I was trying to get him on, and I told his people, I said, I will give him the plan that can help him win the governor's race if he will come on the television or radio show. And here was my plan. Figure out what percentage of our $6 billion-plus general fund budget, what percentage of that it would cost us to send to the federal government to get those other $1 billion or $2 or $3 billion, whatever it is. Tell me what percentage that is, and then I will cut every department across the board, no exceptions, from my office to conservation to anything. I will cut it that percent in my first budget in order to get it. Could that get through the Alabama legislature?
Well, no. You're really looking at only about a B and eight of state money, and you know, if you cut it, you know, in order to pay for it, you're gonna have to cut 10%. I mean, you're talking $180 million in order to fund expansion, and you're okay. Right. There's no way that you could do that. That's fortunately, you know, Dale and Jeff, when you have to balance budgets, it forces you to make tough decisions. And unfortunately, at the federal level, because of the credit of the country, you know, we can just spend more than we take in, and fortunately, the consequences, we know they're there. But they're a little bit under the radar, and on the long run, there's a threat there. But yeah, it's easy to talk about it, but there's a philosophical debate, and I'm glad that I fought, led the fight, and helped to stop the expansion of Medicaid in Alabama. Hopefully, that's one battle that we can philosophically agree that we don't need to do. But there's a lot of the political class and power people that see the money that goes with it.
Well, now former Senator Pittman, what's next for you? We'll get you out of here on this, but you know, now that you're out of the state house, what are you going
to
do now?
I was happened to be driving from after lunch to go see some customers and sell some equipment. So that's what's for me right now. I'm going to take care of my family and my business and be an observer. Maybe have a little interaction with individuals like you that I respect that have philosophy, and you know, maybe write a little editorial every now and then. But right now, I'm gonna leave it to some other people and let it sort itself out. I've served 11 years in the Senate and about 6 years in the National Guard and 10 years on the Alabama Commission on Higher Education and 4 years on the Baldwin County Planning Commission. I'm about served out right now.
All right. Well, there you have it. Trip Pittman joining us, a surprise guest on FM Talk 106.5. This is Jeff Poore filling in for Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back to wrap it up.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Captain Talk 106.5. Jeff Poore filling in for Sean Sullivan. Going to get out of here, but we got some breaking news coming across the TV screens here. So Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Mobile's on Jeff Sessions, is out in the Department of Justice. Not much of a surprise, but I guess the biggest surprise that happened so fast.
Yeah, but here's why wait. I mean, just like with the Alabama legislature, why wait to do lottery? Why wait to do gas tax? Do it all right away. It gives you the longest amount of time before you have to deal with something else. Get Jeff Sessions out of there. You got a bigger majority now in the Senate is expected. Make them appoint or confirm somebody else. Okay, let's move on.
Who wants that job?
Oh, come on.
No, I'm asking like an illegit. I'm not, but I'm asking.
Oh, I got you.
Who wants that job?
If you want me to give you some names, Trey Gowdy, Lindsey Graham. I don't know. I mean, who knows?
It seems like a job that you're not long for this world because...
He held it for 2 years.
No, but you could be out in 2 years. So why would you, if you're Lindsey Graham, why would you give up the Senate seat and all that seniority you've had for ages? Trey Gowdy's different because he's obviously he's a free agent right now. But
Devin Nunez.
Well,
whoever. Look, here's the deal. What do they want him to do? They're now going to twist themselves in knots over this whole, he's going to fire Mueller over and over. They're going to twist themselves. If he wanted to fire Mueller, he would have done it a long time ago.
Who cares
if he does?
Can we call Jeff Sessions 10 years Attorney General kind of disappointing? Do you think that's a fair?
No, he was the MVP of the Trump administration.
How so?
They beat the crap out of him nonstop, and he just kept his head down and kept doing what he was supposed to do.
What did he do?
He was involved in the border stuff. He was trying his best to get that stuff done. Federal judges blew him up. This is where we get into Trump world again, where we don't care about what actually happened. All we care about is how Trump spins it. That's it. He wanted scapegoats and people to bully, so he started bullying Jeff Sessions. And what did Jeff Sessions do? Jeff Sessions is like, whatever, I'm going to work. And that's what he did. And Jeff Sessions didn't get sucked into all of this. He made him fire him. He's still the MVP of the Trump administration.
And
he's the reason Trump's president. On top of all that.
He was sort of the philosophical motivation behind his presidency, I think. But
Sessions is the MVP.
I don't know. When the history books are written, then what are we going to say? This is Jeff Sessions' signature accomplishment as Attorney General is this, and you're saying he did something at the border.
Who was Obama's first Attorney General?
It was Eric Holder.
Okay, his first?
He had two, right?
I'm asking, I don't know. What was his signature accomplishment? Fast and Furious? I mean, who cares? He's the Attorney General.
Prosecuted, like, hate crimes.
We're living in the moment. We live in the moment. We don't talk about who was Ronald Reagan's first Attorney General.
But I think there were expectations for Jeff Sessions because he was Jeff Sessions. He was the guy in the Senate that was talking the talk and walking the walk and doing all these things, and he didn't live up. Maybe he was a victim of his own expectations, but I just think his tenure kind of left a lot to be desired, and I think people expected a lot more out of him.
Well, maybe so, but I still view him as the MVP of the Trump administration. Keep his head down, get to work. That's it. He didn't get sucked up in this stuff. He lasted. He said, fire me. Fire me. Go ahead. And they did.
Do you think he's done politically?
Luther Strange wants him to run for office back in Alabama.
Why would he do that? Now, because he was always kind of a backbencher in the Senate. He
wouldn't be now. He wouldn't be now if he goes back.
McConnell never would let him have a committee. He was when they were out of power. He was, I think he was the ranking Republican on budget and judiciary when Obama was trying to get his Supreme Court justices through. They made him be that guy to take all the flack. But when they got that majority, he was in line to be chairman of the budget committee, and they said nah, and they put Mike Enzi in, and I think. He comes back to the Senate. Does that change? Does he all of a sudden have any power, any stroke? I think he's just remains a backbencher. Why would he do that?
I'm not saying that he should run there, but even if he did, cool. I would vote for him. I would vote for him. You vote over him or Doug Jones?
Oh, definitely.
And here's the real question.
What about the Republican primary?
Could he even get in there in a Republican primary? I mean, Alabamians, they decided that they love Trump more than they like Sessions. Just like Floridians said they love Trump more than they like Rubio.
Well, my feeling is that there's what's in it for him, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like, what is he going to do other than be a vote in a 100-member body? Does anything change? I don't think it does. I think he's better off, maybe he goes to K Street. Maybe he comes back to Alabama.
Maybe
just
he sits
does
on
Alabama
his porch.
Stuff. Maybe he gets a job as a radio host at WVNN.
I don't know. I mean, we got some. We're giving them away like candy over here. So, look, Jeff Sessions is a good man. Good guy. Been fired as Attorney General. Wish him the best. Next.
So.
Put the next body in there. Let's see what they're going to do. I mean, if they're going to do this thing where they're going to put him in so he can fire, go ahead. I don't care about the media freaking out about that kind of stuff.
But the media's going to freak out.
People don't care about this. People do not care about
They're going to freak out about the Mueller stuff and what this means
go
for
nuts. The
Mueller. The
American people think. The exit poll yesterday said that the Americans believed that that stuff was politically motivated. Overwhelmingly believe that that's, I think it was 67% or higher, believe that stuff's politically motivated.
Trump,
go ahead. Go nuts.
Can Trump get somebody in that's going to shake that up?
He can get whatever he wants. They're going to confirm his guys.
I think the Department of Justice, what Trump was supposed to do, he was supposed to kind of try to eliminate this deep state. Jeff Sessions come in, and he was going to be that guy. He was going to be the guy that was going to shake all this up. And we're not going to have unelected bureaucrats really having this much power in our government. He never did these things, I think. And I think that's where, well, we remember Jeff Sessions. He had this opportunity, and he didn't make the most of it.
Well, look, here's the reality. Sessions went out there and tried to do what he was supposed to do. And because of all the attention he got, because he met with some Russian guy at the Republican National Convention, he stepped back there. But he did launch the investigation into the coverage, the handling of the Hillary Clinton stuff. That's still ongoing. I mean, he did those things he was supposed to. Here's the thing. Jeff Sessions did what the Attorney General was supposed to do. He set out to enforce the law. Donald Trump and Trump Ultra fans wanted him to be Eric Holder. They wanted him to be Loretta Lynch.
Right.
They wanted him to be the thing they said they weren't, because hypocrisy is the rule of the day. They screwed us. We want someone that's going to screw them. And that's what we wanted. So Jeff Sessions said, I'm not playing that game.
Well, he didn't. And I guess, you know, we could talk about what a great statesman he was. Well, if that's the way you're supposed to do it, then he wins. But I don't think I just think that, like you call them, the Trump Ultra fans or whatever, they're not going to look favorably upon Jeff Sessions in his tenure as Attorney General.
By the way, AL.com, Jeff Sessions resigns as Attorney General. CNN, Attorney Jeff Sessions fired.
So we don't know if he's resigned or retired.
What the hell, man? I mean, no one knows.
We'll find out in the coming future. Yeah. This is Jeff Poore filling in for Sean Sullivan today. I'll be back in Mobile tomorrow. I want to thank Sean for having me on. Coming up next is the Paul Feinbaum Show.